Well, amen. It is good to be in church on Sunday night. Amen. That was kind of mediocre. That was not even as good as Sunday school. Let's try that again. It's good to be in church on Sunday night. Amen. There you go. That's good. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you again, Brother Mitchell, for letting us come. We always look forward to it. We always enjoy it. It's good to see you folks, and just good to, it's been a good day. We have enjoyed ourselves thoroughly. We really have. And thank you for being here, and I believe God has wonderful things in store for the future. Amen? I do. I really do. I think we're going to see God do some great stuff that we never expected in the next days, months, years. I believe there are good things on the horizon, and then the Lord is coming back. Amen? And that's a good thing. I hope you're ready for that. I truly hope you're ready for that. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Philippians chapter 2. There you go. I was just waiting to see if you figured it out yet where we're going. Philippians chapter 2. When you find that, if you're able to stand easily, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? This is my water here, right? The seal wasn't broken or anything, so. I always feel like I should turn around that way so you're not jealous that I got to drink there in church. Philippians chapter number 2. This morning we stopped in verse number 11. Now, I think you'd agree with me that verses 9, 10, 11, it's the high point of the chapter. This is great stuff. Where God has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's just big stuff. Amen? And then look at verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I want to preach to you on this subject tonight, work out your salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good day that you've given to us and for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, thank you for these people, their faithfulness, their kindness. God, I pray tonight as we look into your word that again, we would allow your Holy Spirit to use it in our hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Work out your salvation. Notice I didn't say work for your salvation, because God didn't say work for your salvation. I said work out your salvation. Notice that verse number 12 starts with that same word that we saw in verse number 9. In verse number 9, it started and said, wherefore, and then told us because of everything that had been said, what happens next. Here in verse number 12, the same thing is happening. We've already gotten through that part where God's given him a name that's above every name, and the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, because of that, wherefore, because of all that stuff, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wherefore, because of what was said before. In verse number 2, be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, be of one mind. Verse 3, let each esteem others better than themselves. Verse 5, have the mind of Christ. Verse number 8, have the humility that Christ exemplified for us. And then you see the exaltation of the Savior in verses 8, 9, 10, 11. Because of all of that, because Jesus Christ is our perfect, holy, righteous example. Because he came and died for us and is exalted to the place that he is at, because of all of that, because Jesus Christ is Lord, now there are some things that need to take place. There are some changes that need to happen in our life. I mean, if all that is true and Jesus Christ is Lord and every tongue will confess it one day, then it ought to affect our lives, shouldn't it? It ought to. And so God says, because of all that, now your responsibility is to work out your salvation. Again, not work for it. Jesus Christ did all the work for your salvation. Now that you have it, I want you to see here, first of all, the pattern of Bible salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who accomplishes the work. Don't think that this passage is teaching work salvation. It is not. I had a man tell me that one night. He said, right there, it says, work out your own salvation. You have to work for your salvation. That is not what the passage says. And you have to twist it all out of shape in order to get that. Jesus Christ is the one that did the work for our salvation. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of what? Not of works, lest any man should boast. So when somebody tells you that works is an integral part of your salvation, they're not telling you the truth. The only works that are part of your salvation are the works Jesus did. Your works couldn't get you an inch closer to heaven. They can't do it. It's just not possible. There's not enough good in you. The Bible says there is none good. There's none righteous. Not a single one, nowhere, any place, anybody. Amen. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The best person you've ever heard of, the only sinless individual on this earth, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Everybody else sinned and had sin. And so the work was done by him. Now what we need to do, once we have that salvation, once we've come to that place where we have put our faith and trust in him alone for our salvation, is to work it out. In other words, if you have it in here, put it out there. That's what he's saying. If you just go back and read the context, all that we saw this morning, and because Jesus Christ is Lord, that's the context where he says, wherefore, now work out your salvation. If he really is who he says he is and really did what he said he did, that's worth telling people about. Now remember, he's talking to persecuted people who are living under threat of persecution, and it's not a safe time to go out in public and proclaim Jesus Christ. And yet God says to them, go do it. Isn't that amazing? Say, well, it's not safe. Well, then we shouldn't do it, and we should just keep quiet. No, God says, even here when it's not safe, go out and do it. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, and everybody needs to know it. Everybody needs to be prepared to meet him one day. Notice what else he says here. Hey, work out your own salvation. Look what it says at the end. With fear and trembling. Yes, sir. He's not assuming this is going to be easy. As a matter of fact, it's going to be scary. They're risking everything by publicly declaring that Jesus Christ is the only God, the only way of salvation. They're taking their lives in their hands to do it, and God says, do it even if you're scared. Do it with fear and trembling. Go on out there and work out your salvation. It's been said before, and it's absolutely true. The world doesn't care what you believe as long as it stays in here, where it's safe and it doesn't affect them. All they have to do is not come in here and they're good. When they get nervous is when you take it out there. Because now it has the potential of having an effect on their lives. We've seen it in our world. We've seen it recently. We just saw it a couple weeks ago when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Listen, the reason he was assassinated is because he believed there was a foundation for truth. And according to the world, that's called hate now. And the person that they've got there that they said shot him, he said, well, he's spreading hate, and so he has to be killed. What was he really saying? Was he saying something hateful and wicked and evil? No, he was saying there is a foundation for truth. That foundation is the Word of God, and it doesn't change. And that's why perversion is perversion, and that's why truth is truth, and the world considers that hate. And so you understand that the thinking, the liberal thinking of the world is completely illogical.
Right.
You understand that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally illogical. And so they can't really compete on the field of discussion where you have truth in front of you.
Right.
And so the only recourse they have is to shut you up.
Yep. Right.
Or keep you where you belong.
Right.
So that you don't get in their way. And once you get out in their way, now they must stop you somehow.
Right. Yeah.
So, well, that doesn't really happen that much. Like I said, it just happened a couple weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
It just happened. It's happened for the last several years. Just ask a guy by the name of Jack Phillips in Denver, Colorado.
Right.
He owned a bakery. Had a bakery. He baked cakes. And they came in and wanted him to make a cake for a homosexual wedding and make it what they wanted and come set it up. And he said, I'm sorry, I believe that's a sin. I believe it's wrong. And so I can't be part of your wedding. I can't do that. I can't make this cake and come set it up at your wedding. There are plenty of people who will be glad to make the cake. It'll be fine. And the state of Colorado has persecuted that man ever since. They have. They've drug him through court, and it was all thrown out, and they drug him through court again. They want to absolutely destroy him. Why? So that you will think it's not safe to take what I believe on Sunday out into my work on Monday. They're not just attacking him. They're sending you a warning message. Saying, don't say those things. Don't put them out in public. Yes, there are parts of the Bible that you can put out there in public, but other parts you better not say, or else you're going to be in trouble. You could ask Baronelle Stutzman. She owns a floral shop in Richland, Washington, where Liz's father pastors. She's just a little old, she's a grandma who sells flowers. I mean, she's not a big time business. She's a little grandma's flower shop. As a matter of fact, there was a girl in the church there that worked for her for years, delivering flowers and all that. Just this nice little old lady, and they did exactly the same thing to her. Customers came in, said, we want you to do the flowers for our homosexual wedding. She said, I believe that's against the Word of God. I can't do it. And it wasn't the customers. The customers had no problem. They were regular customers, and it wasn't them that sued her. It was the state of Washington. And the state of Washington has been trying to destroy the life of that little old lady ever since. They have. Are they just constantly attacking and attacking and attacking? Why? Because she took what she believed on Sunday and she heard in church on Sunday and she read in the Bible and she dared to take it outside these walls and apply it to her character and her business on Monday. See, they don't care what you say in here. What they care is if it goes out of here and it begins to affect life in real people. And all of a sudden, you have an issue on your hands. And what did God say? Well, then, if they're going to respond like that, well, then don't tell them what the Bible says. No, that's not what God said. God said, even if you have to do it with fear and trembling, work out your salvation. Put it out there. Put it out there. Let people know what God has to say. Listen, the average lost person does not want to hear that they're a lost sinner on their way to hell. They don't. You know what they want to hear? God is love and everything's going to be all right. And there are lots of folks willing to tell them God is love and everything will be all right. Except that's not the gospel. Listen, there was no reason for Jesus to even show up if we weren't sinners who needed a Savior. If you don't start there, you've missed out on the whole purpose for redemption. You've missed it all. And all you have is a warm fuzzy, and people like that. They like that. But they don't like the idea that they're sinners and hell is the price of ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, work out your salvation. Look at verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Again, that does away with the idea of work salvation. said, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. My sister-in-law is not saved. She grew up in a Mormon family, and they were not even good Mormons. They went once in a while, but if you were to ask her, she'd tell you that's what she is. And Liz has had the opportunity many times to sit down and talk to her, and she shared the gospel with her, and she just can't get out of her mind the idea of work salvation. And she said to Liz one time, she said, I just can't live the way you guys do. I'm not good. I'm not a good enough person. Well, then you qualify.
Exactly.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
All you got to do to qualify for salvation is realize you're a sinner. Amen? And know that you can't earn it. And yet she's got this in her mind that she's got to be good enough and work hard enough to somehow obtain salvation. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. By the way, living for the Lord Jesus Christ is much the same way. You can't just live for the Lord Jesus Christ in the strength of your flesh any more than you can get saved in the strength of your flesh. It's God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You've got to let him do the work that he does, and he does it so much better than we do. So much better. Salvation is by grace through faith, and the power and ability to serve God is also by grace through faith. So we see not only the salvation, but we see the process of working out the salvation. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was an old Methodist evangelist, and he traveled all over and held great revival meetings and all that. He had a lot of famous sayings, and they've been written down many times and made little plaques and all this stuff. One of his famous sayings was this: it's never right to do wrong to do right. It's never right to do wrong to do right. By the way, that's a Bible principle.
Yes, sir.
In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know what he's saying? It's never right to do wrong to do right. The end does not justify the means.
Right.
When God tells us to do something, quite often he tells us how to do it. And God is just as interested in how you got there as he is in where you got to. So, but we did this and the outcome was what we wanted. But if you didn't do it the way God said to do it, the outcome doesn't matter.
Right.
You don't get the prize, you don't get the crown if you don't strive lawfully. Well, we're gonna quit preaching, and we're gonna do dramas, and we're gonna do light shows, and we're gonna do this and that, and we will reach the world for Christ. Oh, some folks might come to Christ, but you did it the wrong way. You did it the wrong way. Don't expect a great payoff at the end when you get to heaven.
Right.
Don't expect that. It doesn't matter as much the destination as the way you got there. God is very interested in how you get there. You've got to do right to achieve what God wants you to do.
Yes, sir.
And he tells us here how to work out our salvation. He really does. Do you remember Lance Armstrong, the cyclist? You know, I mean the best one ever. And he won the Tour de France I don't know how many times. He won everything. World records, all kinds of stuff. And then after he had retired, he admitted that he had cheated. He had been doping, taking enhancements and drugs that enhanced his abilities. You know what that does to all of his records and all of his stuff? It just erases it. It's gone. None of it counts. It's all gone. And if his name shows up in the record books, there's a little thing there saying these are not official because he cheated. He didn't follow the rules. Didn't follow the rules. And he said, well, everybody did it. It doesn't matter if everybody did it. You broke the rules. So you don't get the prize. And so there he is. Can you imagine? I'm sure that there are times when he lays in bed at night thinking, I wonder if I could have done it without that.
Right.
I know that thought's crossed his mind. But it's too late now. He's too old now.
Right.
He couldn't do it now with the drugs. He couldn't. He's too old. He couldn't do it anymore. And he'll never know what he really could have done because he broke the rules doing it.
Yes, sir.
Listen, God cares about how you get where you're going.
Yeah.
He cares about it. Look at what it says down here. We looked earlier in chapter 2. Look at verse number 3 of chapter 2 again. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Do you see how God said things are not supposed to be done? Through strife and vainglory. Look what it says in verse number 14 in our passage. Verse 13 said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things. Now, what's he talking about? Working out your salvation. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. It's the same thing he said back there in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Do nothing with, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? Because whether we like it or not, people are watching us. And many times they get their idea of who our God is and what Christianity is by watching us. They do. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, they're going to watch you. Make sure what they see points them to God. And all too often, you know what people see? A mess. I promise you, you could go anywhere tonight to somebody who's not in church and who doesn't go to church and ask them to tell you about church. And they could tell you of three or four churches they know of where the preacher ran off with all the money or with the secretary or somebody molested children or this happened or that happened. I'm talking about people who don't go to church at all. They can list for you several places where they know that's happened. And the devil sits back and rejoices. They can also tell you about church that they went to one time and you know, everybody, I preached at a little church. My good friend Jim White took me to this place back in the 80s. I was on vacation and I was with him and we went to this church because another preacher was there preaching and we both wanted to hear him and we went and we pulled in the parking lot. And Brother White said, they had a fist fight in this parking lot just a couple years ago. I said, who had a fist fight in the parking lot? He said, the church people. they had a fist fight in the parking lot. They had a business meeting, always dangerous. And that went badly. And on the way out of the parking lot, the business meeting erupted into a fist fight in the parking lot. And the police had to come and break it all up. Now that has been, that was probably 35 years ago when he told me about that and we went there. I've been back to that church many times and it had probably happened 5 years previous to that time we were there. Do you know what people still know in that little town?
Yes, sir.
About something that happened 40 years ago?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's the church where they had the big fight in the parking lot. Nobody's even there anymore that was there 40 years ago. They're all dead or moved away or what. There's nobody, that's not even the same people. It's a different pastor. It's a whole different ball of wax. And yet what they know is there was once a fist fight in that parking lot and that church had a big old blow up. And the devil rejoices.
Right.
Amen? And so God says, when you're going to work out your salvation, do it without murmurings and disputings. Don't drag your junk out into the world where everybody can see it.
Right.
Don't do that. Because it just harms the reputation of the church and Christianity as a whole and our God.
Right.
It does. Do it without murmurings and disputings. And look what else it says down here, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. He said, "You, when you're working out your salvation, do it without murmurings and disputings. Because you need to be blameless. What does that mean? Well, that just means that you're walking uprightly and you got a good, honest testimony. By the way, that's the first qualification for a pastor over in 2 Timothy. It is. Also in Titus, first qualification, blameless. So, well, we would expect if we're looking for a pastor, we want a guy who's blameless. Does that mean he's perfect? No, because nobody's going to be perfect. Does that mean he's never sinned or done anything wrong? No, really, it's talking about from the time he's trusted Christ, has he had a good testimony and been honest and upright, and nobody can come level some terrible charge against him since he's known the Lord and all the rest? He's blameless. Yes, it is absolutely valid to expect that from your pastor. But he's not talking to pastors here.
Right.
You know who he's talking to here? Saved people.
Yes.
That's who he's talking to. So it's not just pastors who are supposed to be blameless. It's saved people. Because that's our testimony as we go out into the world, that ye may be blameless. Listen, if you're a plumber, be an honest plumber. Amen. If you're a car salesman, be an honest car salesman. If you're a lawyer, quit and get saved. Just or a politician, for goodness sake. Now, no, whatever you are, don't be the one that everybody says, oh, don't go to that guy. Don't go to that guy. He cheats everybody that he works for, and he's gonna take you for everything he can get. There's nothing worse than a Christian with that reputation. Because that reflects poorly on our God. It does. Whatever it is that you do, be honest and upright and blameless so that when the world looks at you, they get the right idea about your God and the effect that he's had on your life. You should be trustworthy. It's always scary when you go. Remember back when they used to have phone books? Some of you don't even know what that is. Remember a phone book? They used to have those things. And there'd be ads in there, and every once in a while you'd see one of those little fish on the ad. Remember those little fish? And those little fish, that's supposed to mean that this is a Christian and a Christian business. As good rule of thumb is stay away from those. It's like politicians that like to get their picture taken carrying their Bible as they walked out of church the one time they went all year, and they get their picture taken carrying their Bible. Don't swallow that garbage. That's a bunch of baloney. That's like the little Christian fish on the sign. Most of the time, they're just trying to suck you in and get your business, and they're going to cheat you. Amen?
Right.
It's true. Listen, when my car breaks down, and it does, I am totally ignorant. I don't know what to do. My world comes to a stop when my car breaks down. So I have to go get it fixed. That means I have to trust somebody, and it happens in places where we don't know anybody. That's where it happens. We don't know anybody. It's a shot in the dark. And so what I do is I'll ask the preacher, is there somebody you trust? And sometimes he'll say, no. And other times he'll say, yeah, I've had my car worked on at this place. They were honest. They did a good job. Listen, I am not looking. This is probably terrible. When I'm looking for a mechanic because my car broke down, I'm not looking for the Christian. You know what I'm looking for? The best mechanic who's not going to cheat me.
Right.
Now, that should be the Christian.
Yes, sir.
Should be. Yeah. If there's a Christian mechanic, it ought to be that guy that everybody says, no matter what, he's going to do a good job, he's not going to cheat you.
Right.
But you know as well as I do, that's not always the case.
Right.
And what I want is my car fixed right.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to be cheated. So I'm looking for the best mechanic. And if you're a mechanic, it ought to be you. Amen? And if you're a carpenter, you ought to be the best one. And if you're a plumber, you ought to be the best one. And whatever it is, you ought to be the best one and the most upright and honest one because it reflects on your God. He said you should be blameless. Remember, you're working out your salvation, putting it out there in front of everybody. So when you do it without murmurings and disputings that ye may be blameless. And then he says, and harmless. Now, blameless, that's your testimony up to this point. Harmless, that means that you're not actively doing harm to the work of God. Did you know that there are people who claim the name of Christ who really are actively doing harm to the work of God? They are. They're out there. By the way, they're all over the internet. They're all over there. They're doing harm. There was you remember the group in Kansas, and they would go protest military funerals. People they didn't know, who had no idea who the person was, no idea about their life, and they'd go line up and they'd hold up signs saying that they're in hell and all this kind of stuff, which is just absolutely stupid. You can't say that about somebody you don't know. You don't know their life. You have no idea their relationship with God. And not only that, they claim to be a Baptist church. Isn't that sad? Why can't it be, I don't know, Lutherans? Why not the Mormons? Why not Methodists? Why not? It's always got to be some Baptist church. I don't know why that is, other than the devil's very smart.
Right.
He really is. The devil's very smart. And if you just, you want to increase your chances of hearing the gospel somewhere, and there are lots of different kind of Baptists, and I know there are some that don't preach the gospel at all, but if you want to hear the gospel somewhere, your best shot at it is to walk into a Baptist church somewhere. Really, it is. Because for the most part, they're going to put it in there. They are. I mean, you show up for a Mother's Day tea, and they're going to put it in there. It's going to be in there. And so the devil's smart enough to know he needs to discredit that. And so he has the crazies take that name and do crazy stuff.
That's right.
And you know what they're doing? Harm to the work of God.
Right.
Nobody gets saved because some idiot's standing out in front of a funeral with a sign saying everybody's going to hell.
Right. That's right.
They're not. That's not the time for that. Not at all. Then there's the guy that's on the internet a lot. He's calmed down now that everything's gone haywire for him. But he made his mark by supposedly defending the King James Bible, and people who believe the Bible kind of jumped on and thought, oh, this is great. And then he went off into what he really believed, which is total heresy, replacement theology, and all manner of false doctrine. And he has people all over the country that come to churches like this one and split them. Really, they do. We know who they are when they come in. You can spot them. We've told the pastor, I'll bet you anything, that those people are part of that, and they always are. They always are. They come in, they look good, they talk good, and then they start sowing division, and they split the church, and they go down the road and start one of his little cult churches. That's what they do. You know what he's doing? Doing harm to the work of God. Harm. Everywhere it spreads, it does harm to the work of God. So aren't you going to tell us the names of those churches and those people? No, they don't deserve the credit. They don't deserve the advertisement. Amen? I'm not going to. You probably know who they are. And if they don't, all you need to know is stay away from false teachers. Stay away from things that don't line up with the Word of God. And stay away from people that are doing harm to the work of God. And yes, there are those who get in churches of various sorts and then do wicked things and hurt people and harm people. God said, don't, if you're going to work out your salvation, you do it without murmurings and disputing so that you can be blameless, and you need to be harmless, not harming the thing you proclaim that you're trying to teach. Look what else it says down there. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Here we see the perversion of the world. We live in a crooked and perverse nation. We do. When this is written, I mentioned this morning, they're under the Roman Empire. They're in a crooked and perverse nation. They are. Nero's the emperor. He's crazy. He's destroying the empire. The emperor before him was wicked and vile. The one before him was a complete perverse crook that just really did horrible devastation. And they truly were in a crooked and perverse nation. And so are we. So are we. So we're a Christian nation. And yes, that's what we say. And that would be a wonderful thing. Except that we're crooked and perverse.
Right.
We are. It's in politics. It's in business. It's in the general morality of the nation.
Yes.
You say, well, you know, we finally got Roe versus Wade overturned. They're still slaughtering babies.
Right. Yeah.
Thank God that was overturned. But they're still slaughtering babies all around us.
Yes.
They are. And celebrating it. And now they've made it even easier with the pills, and you can order them through the mail. And the majority of abortions now are happening in home when they take the pills. And I'm not even going to describe to you what happens, but it's horrendous. It's horrendous, and it ends up being flushed down the toilet, and it's just absolutely vile. And that's what's happening now in our nation, our crooked and perverse nation. We just recently, under our last administration, the perversion quotient went up tremendously. Really did. So much awful stuff happened that I don't know if we'll ever be able to undo some of it. Just horrendous, awful perversion. And that's where we live, and that's the world we're in. It's the same world they were in. You see, the devil hasn't really changed. The stuff that he's doing now, he's always been doing. He's always been into perversion. He's always been into slaughtering babies. You go back to Bible times. They were offering their children to idols and doing all the rest, and God judged them for it. He did. And we won't walk away unscathed from all that. We won't. But look at what it says. Yeah, it's a dark place. It's crooked. It's perverse. But it says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He didn't say, among whom ye should shine as lights in the world. He said, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He said, you're shining. No matter what, if you know Christ and you stand faithful to the word of God, what he's saying is you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. They're going to notice you. You're going to shine because you're so different from the darkness. It's not completely dark outside yet, but if it got completely dark and there was no light coming in and we turned off the lights in this building, you know what you would begin to notice? That there are some lights in here that you don't normally see. There are. There's some little lights. There are lights on sound equipment and little tiny lights on things, and you'd pull out your cell phone so you wouldn't